Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Good to get together again to provide facts to our community through Zoom technology and the spoken word. Thank you for listening. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your host for the hour, with my good friend and engineer here, Mike Murphy. The weather will be cold, windy, and a high of 38 today. Showers and additional snow flurries throughout the day. Then below freezing tonight, down to 26. Cloudy and highs barely scratching 40 this weekend, yet back into the 60s by Tuesday. Let's welcome Dennis Hart, who works so wonderfully at gathering the news for this week from our local newspaper.
The coronavirus, strong words from an outgoing Ames school board member, and the death of a prominent Iowa State University faculty member all made big news in the Ames Tribune this past week. Let's start with last Friday's paper, which reported that the coronavirus had claimed more than 7,000 lives in the state of Iowa. That means since the pandemic started in March of last year, the virus has killed more than one out of every 451 state residents. About 53% of the state's residents are now fully vaccinated against the virus. The Trib also reported that Iowa's Board of Regents was trying to figure out how the language of a Biden administration executive order that creates coronavirus vaccine requirements for federal contractors could apply to the state's three public universities. The regents govern the University of Iowa, Iowa State University, and the University of Northern Iowa. The federal contractor mandate is scheduled to take effect January 4th. There was also word that the coronavirus appears to have infected many of Iowa's deer. That poses risks the virus could mutate in the animals and then re-enter the human population in an altered version. The State Department of Natural Resources says hunters should use standard precautions when processing venison, such as wearing gloves and thoroughly cooking the meat. There have been no human cases of contracting the coronavirus from eating food, including hunted wild meat. The Trib also reported that a man convicted in a violent 2018 home invasion in Kelly had his 62-year prison sentence vacated by the Iowa Court of Appeals. Lewis Cruz, who is now 19 years old, had pleaded guilty in 2019 to burglary, willful injury causing serious injury, and second-degree theft. He was charged along with two others with breaking into the home of a then 82-year-old Kelly woman. She suffered serious injuries. But an appeals court decided a Story County District Court had abused its discretion in considering sentencing factors for juvenile offenders and imposing the maximum mandatory minimum sentence. He will be resentenced by a different judge. Saturday's Trib reported that the state of Iowa had recorded its first flu death of the season. The Iowa Department of Public Health said an elderly woman from central Iowa was the first state resident to die this season. She was said to be older than 80. Iowa and other states saw few flu cases last season, and doctors say that's because many Americans were wearing masks and practicing social distancing to ward off the coronavirus. Public health experts are urging everyone to get vaccinated against the flu. There was also word that the Pfizer drug company said its experimental antiviral pill for the coronavirus had cut hospitalization rates by nearly 90% in high-risk adults. A similar pill produced by Merck is already under review by the Federal Food and Drug Administration. Since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, researchers have been trying to find a pill to treat the virus, one that could be taken at home to ease symptoms, speed recovery, and prevent hospitalization. The Trib also reported that the city of Ames had kicked off its annual budget process with a town hall meeting last Thursday night. Housing and the arts dominated talk with a small crowd on hand. The city's budget for next year won't be approved until next March. The city will spend this month and next doing an internal budget review, and city council members will give their input December 14th. And there was word that Ames is looking for input on its yearly development report, which shows how federal money has been used to create affordable housing. The Consolidated Annual Performance and Evaluation Report is an annual report required by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The public comment period will be open until November 17th, and a public hearing will be held at the November 23rd City Council meeting. Sunday's paper reported that hundreds of people had turned out last Friday night for a candlelight vigil in Fairfield in Jefferson County. They were there for 66-year-old Noema Graber, Fairfield High's Spanish teacher. Her body had been found in Chautauqua Park in Fairfield. She had been the victim of an alleged homicide. She had been known to walk in the park each afternoon. Police arrested two 16-year-old Fairfield High students on charges of first-degree murder and first-degree conspiracy to commit murder. There was also word that 10 Iowa authors would be featured at the Huxley Public Library's Author Fair tomorrow. The event will run from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Each author will be assigned to a table or section of the library that has their materials. The trip also had word that a national literary journal published by Iowa State University's English department had spun off a book publisher known as Flyway Books, and it's celebrating its first imprint, a children's book titled A Moo Cow Came Traveling. And the Trib's website had word that Iowa State University's football team had defeated a group of Texas Longhorn football players who came traveling to Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday. The final score there, 30-7. Tuesday's Trib reported that Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds and six other Midwestern governors are asking the Federal Environmental Protection Agency for guidance in getting waivers that would allow year-round use of gasoline with 15% ethanol. That request follows a federal appeals court decision last July that threw out a Trump-era EPA rule that let the blend, known as E15, be sold during the summer months. The summer blend had been limited to 10% ethanol because of worries that the higher concentration contributed to smog in warmer weather. There was also word that anyone planning to mail packages this holiday season should do it as fast as possible to ensure that they arrive when they're supposed to, and expect higher prices. The U.S. Post Office has temporarily increased its prices on domestic commercial and retail packages through December 26. The Postal Service's busiest time of the year begins 2 weeks before Christmas. And there was also a feature story about Big Gay Candle Company of Johnston, which offers candles made with natural, environmentally friendly materials, and its co-owner, James Walters. It's been in business since early March, and its products will show up in several markets in the coming weeks, including one at the Prairie Moon Winery in Ames, December 3rd and 4th. Wednesday's paper reported that Iowa State University agricultural law and economics professor Neil Harl had died at the age of 88. Harl was widely known for having pushed for bankruptcy reforms during the 1980s farm crisis in an effort to slow the demise of family farms. And he was known for leading the unsuccessful fight to block the sale of ISU's WOI-TV in the late 1990s. There was also word that faculty, staff, and students at Iowa's three public universities saw a survey about the state of free speech in their inboxes this week. It's the first survey of its kind being administered at the behest of the Iowa Board of Regents Free Speech Committee, which was convened last year in response to what Board of Regents President Michael Richards called disturbing incidents and trends at the universities. And it comes after months of discussion by state regents and lawmakers about free speech on campus. The Trib also reported on Wednesday that outgoing Ames School Board member Monique Binken told board members this week that she is leaving her seat without hope that academic disparities among students in the district will be addressed adequately anytime soon. In her words, "I still don't think this district gets what's truly at the heart of them." Binken was elected in 2017 and did not run for re-election this year. Her comments came after the board had heard results of standardized tests from last spring. Those results showed continued achievement gaps between Black and Hispanic students and their white and Asian American peers in Ames. The gaps show many of the district's Black and Latino students are not yet proficient in English, math, or science, while larger shares of their white or Asian peers showed advanced levels of proficiencies. Binken said, as long as the district and board continue to ignore or excuse overt racism, in her words, "I don't care how many Black Lives Matter week of actions you undertake, or how many books you buy with characters of color in them, or how many awards you win. Until you wake up from your dream, nothing will change." In another story, the Trib reported that the coronavirus vaccine is now available for children as young as 5 years old, and that Story County medical providers are taking appointments. Yesterday's paper reported that the Ames City Council had voted to move forward with a $6 million flood mitigation project along Iowa Creek. The council had to approve $700,000 in bonds on Tuesday to help pay for the project. It will require the acquisition of two properties and impact seven others. In another matter, the council voted to change the name of the city's Squaw Creek Park to Iowa Creek Park. Earlier this year, the name of Squaw Creek was changed to Iowa Creek because the original name was considered derogatory to Native Americans. The new name honors an indigenous tribe that once lived in parts of Iowa. And there was word that council members received an update on Tuesday night about the future downtown plaza that will replace the parking lot east of Ames City Hall. Artwork, events, and outdoor recreation will fill the space once the plaza is completed. It will cost more than $4 million and will have such things as a splash fountain in the summer and space for skating in the winter. It will also have green space and seating and a small stage for entertainment. A new parking lot is planned for 6th Street north of City Hall to partially make up for the parking spaces the plaza will replace. And the Trib reported that an Iowa State University faculty vote this week preserved updates to a diversity graduation requirement of all the university's undergrad students. That requirement mandates that students take coursework to give them experience with human diversity and insights to enhance their understanding of diversity in the United States. And that is your summary of the week's news from the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, reporting today from Clovis, California, and planning to make a return trip to this same virtual seat on Local Talk on Monday morning at 7, when I'll have word on what's been making news all around the state. Between now and then, why don't we both plan to have a great weekend?
Rows and flows of angel hair, and ice cream castles in the air, and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They're rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. Oh, I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's cloud illusions. At all. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy dancing way you feel as every fairy tale comes real. Oh, I've looked at love way, but now it's just another show. You leave them laughing when you go, and if you care, don't let them know. No, don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions I recall. Oh, I really don't know love at all. Tears and fears and feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way. But now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads, they say, I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. Oh, I've looked at life from sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. Oh, I really don't know life at all.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, with your Week in the News, and the music interlude was in honor of Joni Mitchell's turning 78 this week, Both Sides Now, and there's a bit of Both Sides Now in our next segment. In commemoration of Native American Month, this month of November, we recorded Dallas Chief Eagle, a Native Lakota man from Pine Ridge, South Dakota. And in this presentation, Dallas is sharing his exercise in coping with life's challenges and provides insights into his healthy thought processes of maintaining his native culture when it comes up against our modern society. Here's Dallas Chief Eagle talking with a lot of children and those young at heart.
Mitakyapi, relatives, Ilome Elo for this day. There's plenty of sun, and then someone turned the air conditioning on over there. Feeling good about that. Both of them. Just soak it in. We brought out our grandma and grandpa Rock over here from the Buffalo. We want a little lesson plan. If you want to bring your chair in here to the shade, sit around the Buffalo or just sit on the ground, you're welcome to do that. You get a good view. We have Grandma and Grandpa Rock, and then we have one that came from Utah. Any of your children have a stone, bring it on up and put it in there. We're going to have an exercise. So you're invited to come over here and come in the shade for this exercise, and then we're going to go do a hoop dance. So come forward. Especially those of you that are a little hot right now, this might be a good opportunity to sit around the buffalo robe. Yeah, get comfortable around the buffalo. I think you're going to like this exercise. This exercise is for healing too. I'm going to teach you how to heal yourself. Got some shade over here. Our people, a long time ago, we, in our creation stories, we came out of the Mother Earth. And we have various sites throughout Turtle Island. That's what we called Canada and the United States. And we have various sites where the creation story was told how we came out of the Mother Earth and began this new life here on this Unchi Maha planet. And would you agree that we sat around like this in a council and the elders asked, what did we come into this world with? They said it was four gifts, four tools. We came into this world with a brain, a heart, a body, and a spirit. So they had a conversation, and they said that the spirit was elected to be the leader of who we are as individuals. And collectively. So they said we have used those gifts in this new world. So the elders told us that, does the eagle have a spirit? Yes or no? Does the tree have a spirit? Does the horse have a spirit? Does that butterfly have a monarch have a spirit? And then you're going to see a red-tailed hawk later on. It has a spirit too. Do you have a spirit? Does that buffalo have a spirit? And you see those grandma and grandpa rocks there on the buffalo. And there was some other one that came up there to be with him. That big one there came from a grandma on the Sisseton Wahpeton Reservation. It made it all this way to teach you today. It's going to teach you. So that's why I asked them to come up here so they can see that grandma and grandpa rock. And what is the rock demonstrating right now? Huh? What are they doing? Huh? Since they're the elders of all those spirits, we're going to learn from them. Are they making noise? Okay, we're not going to make noise. Are they moving? They're not moving. Are they moving their body? Okay, we're not going to move our body. Okay, I want you to put your eyes on Grandma Rock or find a place. I don't want you to move your eyes from that spot. Keep your eyes right there. We're going to do it for 1 whole minute. That's a long time. Keep your eyes on Grandpa Rock. Grandma Rock. Don't move your head. Don't move your fingers. You have to be stiff as a statue. Just like Grandpa Rock. For 1 whole minute. We're not going to move our brain either. Every time you think of a thought, if it comes from yesterday or tomorrow or right now, or your mind wants to wander, don't make it move. We're going to give our brain a rest. Consciously give our brain a rest for 1 minute where it does not have to think of nothing. You can do this. Also, so when a thought comes in, what are you going to do? Block it out. Another thought comes in, what are you going to do? For the whole minute, we're going to block out all thoughts. Some of us are overwhelmed by thoughts. So that's why we have to consciously give our brain a rest and not move. Also in our feelings too. How many of you have feelings of prejudice, meanness, violence on others, or experienced violence with others? How many of you have a hurt or a pain or a memory from the past? Maybe it was one of your relatives hurt you. It weighs heavy on your heart. I did that for my mom and my dad. They're currently passed away. So I had some disappointment. So in my heart. So what I did was I stopped that disappointment. I stopped that heartache. That memory and that feeling for 1 whole minute. Also, I stopped my physical body. Before, my brain and my heart and my body could do as it pleases, unconsciously. But right now, we're going to do it consciously. And we're going to stop this, stop this, stop our body, and be stiff as a statue. Keep your eye on Grandma and Grandpa Rock. They're here to teach us and respect the Grandma and Grandpa Rock for 1 whole minute. And to get the most benefit, if you can do that, you will get the most benefit, a big lesson, if you experience it. But it takes a complete focus. Are you ready? Here we go. Out there in the bleachers, you could do the same thing by looking at a special spot. Set, go.
And the minute of the exercise did pass after exactly 60 seconds. I think Dallas Chief Eagle has done this before many times. His timing was perfect.
Okay. How many of you had a little trouble, some thoughts were coming into your head, but then you made those thoughts stop? How many of you had some success? Okay, you have some success there. It takes practice. How many of you had a feeling come up and you stopped it? Maybe you wanted to itch, or maybe you wanted to cough, but you stopped it. How many of you, that's more success. How many of you kept your body stiff as a statue and your eyes right on Grandma and Grandpa Rock? That's more success. That's a whole bunch of respect for Grandma and Grandpa Rock. Been down there, sitting there for thousands of years, not moving. Weak and too, consciously. Give me one word on how you feel right now. One word. Peaceful. Another word. Good. Happy. Calm. Relax. That's the doorway to the spirit. That's food that comes from the spirit. Because it gets all the attention. We cannot explain the spirit, but what we can do is remove all the distractors that come into our brain that are planted there. In our hearts, what's planted there, and it comes and reoccurs. So then, we find out what is holding us back in our brain, in our heart, and how we treat our bodies, how we use our bodies. And then, what is in the way of our relationships with all the other spirits that are around us? How can I benefit from and get a strength that I could use to help me remove those memories and those? I have no use for some of those memories no more. I'm going to put them in the past.
You are listening to a recording of Dallas Chief Eagle of the Lakota Nation in commemoration of Native American Month. Mr. Chief Eagle has been describing an exercise of strengthening our spiritual self in dealing with modern adjustments to our civilization. This was a part of the programming of Dallas County Conservation Area's Prairie Awakening last September. This is KHOY's Local Talk, today commemorating Native American Month of November. As we return, we can gain from Mr. Chief Eagle's teachings right here in our Ames community.
What is in the way of our relationships with all the other spirits that are around us? How can I benefit from and get a strength that I could use to help me remove those memories and those? I have no use for some of those memories no more. I'm going to put them in the past, like my mom and dad. Some of those memories that are not so good, we put them in the past. I have no use for them to weigh me down no more. And then I have a conversation with my mother and my father, like the earth and the sky. And since all of those distractors are out of the way, I can tell my mother and my father, these are the things that I now remember, the goodness And I realize those are the things that you couldn't take care of in your lifetime. And now I can do something about it in my lifetime so that others do not hold that overwhelming problem. So I would cry and wail and weep when I talked to my mother and father and let them know how happy I am to finally see them. I don't have no prejudice there. Happy to see them and talk to them, even though they're in the spirit world. And the things that I do is in honor of the good things that gave me. My mother gave me life. My father couldn't get over his PTSD. They came from the boarding school where they tried to take the Indian out of the children. They did that, and they didn't know how to be a parent. So now it's my job to get rid of those distractors in my life. What am I scared of? What are my fears? What are my prejudices? Well, all I have to do is go to my spirit, and my spirit will be the leader of those four medicines. So we know now about our brothers and sisters that had went through a lot of pain and suffering, and they're confused, they're lost, they're scared. The way we can adopt one another is we do have a ceremony for adoption. There's too many orphans looking around for a place to belong, feel good about themselves. And we've created many distortions about that. The gold isn't out there. The gold is in there. So when we seen the wagon trains come out, they were looking for gold. They were looking for something outside themselves to make them feel good, to make them feel powerful. The other day I seen the wagon trains going through our Black Hills. There were $500,000 big motor homes going through. I've seen 50 of them. They're still looking for something to feel good about themselves. They're still looking for gold when it's right under their nose, each one of us. So there are other exercises where we can share our tears of joy and distribute that gold in our relationship. Important word for us, O mitakuye oyase. We are all related. The more I train my spirit each day to be the leader, to be the one in front, the more we see each other as a spirit. No matter your problems, no matter your mistakes. So maybe we Americans, all these cultures, we're going to continue to mature and treat each other with this new strength. But in order to maintain that true strength, you have to be creative. Like I go down the road and I have a little pouch right here with a couple stones. Since they're the elders, I'll grab those stones. If I get nervous, scared, confused, feeling hurt or pain, my relatives, the ones that know how to managed themselves for thousands of years, I am learning how to manage myself. And each one of us can do it consciously. I seen an elderly couple. They were at one of these Wachipi, and they were dancing around together, and I seen them. They said, "Watch us, Dallas." I was sitting where the earth sitting. And as they were going around, were grabbing into their brain and throwing things behind them. I seen her do it. She grabs a memory that she was holding on that was weighing her down. She threw it behind them. I seen them grab their heart as they were moving around. And she threw it behind her. And he grabbed his heart and threw it behind him. Maybe it was trauma. Maybe they hurt somebody else. We have to let it go. Your spirit will say, "Let it go now. I'm in charge." They're grabbing their knees and their elbows. I seen them throw it behind them. As they were dancing, they looked like they were getting lighter and lighter. And you could see their smile. You could see their shining faces with those beautiful tears. And they were moving along with the heartbeat of the nation, the drum. Afterward, I was up there crying too, and I wasn't even doing it. I was sitting on the side. Afterward, I got to visit them. And they said, because before that, they wanted to sit with the stone. They wanted to sit with the stone on the side for 1 minute. That's what they told me. They said, "We understand you have a lesson plan that's 1 minute." Takes 1 minute. So that's an important minute. So whatever problems we have, like a little boy, he has, here's an example, little boy, fourth grade, he says he's arguing with his dad a lot about chores, about this, about that. His dad is overwhelmed. Boy is overwhelmed. They clash. They don't know what to do. They say things. And it hurts each other's feelings, and they carry that in heart. They don't know what to do with that. The little boy, he went home and he grabbed him a grandma and grandpa rock. And him and his dad were angry and mad as they were fighting. And then the little boy, he said, "Dad, I'm going to go up to my room. I don't want to argue. I'm going to go to my room for a time out." He went to his room. He sat with his stones for 1 whole minute. He said he was getting good at stopping his brain, making it rest, and his heart rest, his body not moving either. Then he went downstairs. He noticed his dad was still mad, but he didn't react. He says, "My spirit don't react. My spirit's got a life, and it's got a leader of me now." He came to school. He said, "Mr. Chief Eagle, I have something to share with you about Grandma and Grandpa Rock." I said, "Would you like to share it with the class?" He said, "Yes." So he sat around. He said, "Sometimes me and my dad, we argue at night, and then we argue during the day, and we're frustrated. But I took a time out and went to be with my Kia Oyate, the Stones family. And he says, sometimes we would get in fights in the morning and after school. And he says, sometimes I would be so mad and so angry I'd be coming to school. And I was still mad and angry. And the other students, they were so honest, they said, yeah, he does. And he says, but what happened, Mr. Chief Eagle, is I spent that 1 minute with the Elder Stones, and I made my madness go away. I made my madness go away. How many of us are carrying around madness? Sadness. Hurt, pain, suffering. So that's what our people are doing at home. We have a lot of things we're very angry about, very mad about. That's happened to us over the centuries. A third grade group came back to the reservation from St. Francis Indian School in Rosebud, and they started off in third grade after we start getting our ceremonial items back. The third graders, their job was to go get some of the children back from all the boarding schools where they took our children away to, like my mom and dad, they were in the boarding school. They went and did this project, and it took them 7 years. And the first wave that came from Carlisle Indian School, they brought back to the reservation. But they said when they were coming back, they even seen sisters and priests alongside the road praying when they were taking those bodies home. That's part of our healing process. We have very big social problems, alcohol and drug problems, highest dropout rate. We got a lot of problems. But we're taking the best of what we have, the teachings that went underground, that are out in the open now, we're restoring and building a new way of life like our ancestors. Because like some of us may have about five generations that goes back to when we came as immigrants here. But we're finding out that we have some knowledge and some beautiful teachings and some beautiful songs and ceremonies that went underground and they're coming out, and that could benefit us again and help restore a way of life and help all of us become more mature when we make our decision. One of the areas we're studying now is having female societies and male societies, where the males come together with the uncles and the boys, and the females come together for the girls. And then the women talk about what is maturity, how do we take care of ourselves. Saint Anne, I'll give you an example of maybe what happened a long time ago. The girls wanted 13 buffaloes. The men wanted 20 buffaloes to go through the winter. So they went out and they had an agreement with the women and the girls and the grandmas to get 15 buffaloes. The men went out with the boys and the uncles and the grandpas. They came back with 20 buffaloes. Now you think that maybe the women had something to say about that? yeah, they wanted to have a council meeting, and they wanted to know what's going on with you guys. You disrespected us. We agreed on 15. Not only did you disrespect us, I don't think you had the spirit. Your spirit wasn't leading you. Spirits don't disrespect. They said, you disrespected the Buffalo Nation because you had an agreement with us. And most of all, you disrespected those boys and you set a bad example. So there we are as men, sinking a little lower and lower, realizing what they were saying was the earth and the sky work together to make things grow, like a marriage, and that we have to figure out those challenges in our life and not let them stalemate, and help us to evolve and live a full life and manage ourselves throughout our lifetime. And it takes practice. Minute here, minute there. So thank you for this part. We're going to do our hoop dance now.
You've been listening to Dallas Chief Eagle from a windy day last September at the Dallas County Prairie Awakening at the Keene Conservation Area. Dallas is also a world-class hoop dancer, and it's really quite a program that he puts together. If you'd like to hear more about Dallas County's program at the Prairie Awakening, next year it's always the Saturday after Labor Day, September 10th, 2022. So we're missing Susan Guiasta this morning so she can enjoy a well-deserved day off with her family. And last week, good KHOI friend to the station, Matt Michael, called with something he had heard along the Skunk River Wildlife Corridor south of Ames. I think he was describing the calls of a bobcat. Phenology is writing down nature's happenings on the date they occur. The day of specific events like the first butterfly of spring or the last flock of pelicans in autumn are noted in a journal for future reference and comparisons from year to year. Today's phenology is about bobcats. In the distance, two glowing eyes by the roadside suddenly darted through the beam of headlights and were gone. Was it real or simply an apparition? I asked my passenger, "Was that what I think it was?" And Diana Savin from Houma, Louisiana responded, "That was a bobcat. We've got a lot of those back home." And the bobcat at the side of the road was the first I'd ever seen. In many hours of tramping lowland river bottoms and steep hillsides of southern Iowa, I've only seen one other. Yet their population is increasing. Cats in Iowa are making a comeback. Cat experts believe seeing even one bobcat in a lifetime is above average. Most Americans, campers, hikers, birdwatchers, hunters, and trappers included, never catch a glimpse of these elusive, nocturnal, native cats. Like all wild felines, they are extremely secretive and possess intense vitality. Considered one of the world's finest hunters, bobcats have been described as moving like a wraith on padded feet. Few animals have their gifts of keen eyesight and hearing. At the distant approach of people or dogs, bobcats will fade into the terrain like a puff of smoke. They move without weight or sound, a bundle of spring steel wrapped in gray that seemingly hates to be seen by humans and will slip from view without a moment's hesitation. Therefore, bobcat tracks are commonly used to identify their whereabouts. Their tracks are somewhat smaller than a silver dollar. The ball pad is distinct from that of coyote tracks in that the front of the pad is two-lobed. Also, tracks are more rounded than those of coyotes or dogs and show no claw marks. The bobcat's razor-sharp claws remain retracted until needed. So similar to sandhill cranes reoccupying our wetlands and bald eagles nesting along numerous watersheds and river otters returning to Iowa streams, bobcats are making their presence known in woodland habitat of Iowa. A great deal of credit and thanks go to conservation organizations like the county conservation boards and others for their efforts to increase and improve forest lands in the state. Mature bobcats average 3 feet in length with a 6-inch tail, stand 15 to 18 inches high, and weigh from 15 to 25 pounds when mature. A bobcat's winter coat is more grayish in color than the black-spotted rufous fur it wears in summer. It has a distinctive ruff or side whiskers on its face and tufts of antenna-like hair on the ear points. And according to researchers, captive bobcats lose some of their keen hearing if these extended hairs on their ear points are snipped off. Bobcats have been elegantly designed to play their part in the scheme of life. Their fate and the fate of rabbits have intertwined during 40 million years of evolution. Predator and prey alike depend on one another for their long-term well-being. Rabbits serve to feed bobcats, and the bobcat's role is to weed rabbits, suppressing that population. The balance that exists between these animals is a dynamic one. When the rabbit population crashes, as it normally does, on a cyclical basis, particularly in the West, it is the rabbit that regulates the bobcat population. For without that important food item, bobcats have a difficult time raising their young. Very possibly, the Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP, since 1988, has played an important role in rabbit and rodent production in Iowa that could benefit bobcats in future years. Other foods taken by bobcats include songbirds, quail, rats, mice, grasshoppers, beetles, and reptiles like snakes and turtles. However, bobcats are not limited to small and easily taken prey. They have been known to stalk into a turkey hunter's range when the hunter is actively calling, and they are able to kill young deer and on occasion adult deer as well. This is most frequently accomplished when the deer is bedded down, unaware that it is being stalked. The bobcat inches carefully towards its prey, like a house cat stalks a mouse. Then it bounds forward and lands on the deer's neck and shoulders, and if the bobcat's teeth reach the deer's spine, the deer will be killed quickly. Accounts indicate if the deer is large and strong, it may leap up with the cat still on its back and bound through the forest trying to shake the cat off. And with luck, it may scrape its attackers off against a low branch. But more probably, the bobcat will ride the deer to earth, biting deeper and deeper into its neck. During severe winter storms, bobcats hole up and wait out the weather. Country folks may awaken on a winter night to the courting serenades of bobcats in distant woods or ravines. The caterwauling resembles the snarling, hissing, squalling, deep-throated growling, and high-pitched squeals of domestic cats at the time of mating, but with the volume turned up. Bobcats' pairs separate after mating, and in 63 to 70 days, the female bears her new kittens in spring. This continues year after year as long as the female lives, which may be 12 to 15 years. In his book, A Country So Full of Game, Jim Dinsmore states that bobcats occurred over most of the United States, southern Canada, and Mexico when Europeans first arrived. Bounties for killing wildcats date back to 1817, when Iowa was still part of the Missouri Territory. At that time, a bounty of 50 cents was paid for each bobcat killed. It remained at that level, 50 cents, into the Depression of the 1930s. Later, it was discontinued altogether as appreciation of the predator's role in nature was better understood. Basically, by 1900, bobcats seemed to have disappeared from most of Iowa, and there was almost no mention of them in the literature for a number of years. And a literature review in 1998 indicated that hunting and trapping exploitation likely contributed to the demise of bobcats in Iowa, but loss of habitat was a paramount factor. It's easy to accept the idea that bobcats could always be in Iowa, perhaps because we want them here. They are great ambassadors of wild areas that enhance our appreciation of natural resources and provide special qualities for our lives. longtime career biologist for the Department of Natural Resources, Ron Andrews, would say, "It's wonderful to think that the bobcat, after being very scarce from the Iowa landscape for nearly a century, could be adapting to humankind and making a comeback. And as long as people have known bobcats, we have admired their tenacity for living. I've never seen one that had a look of fear in its eyes. These secretive predators represent an untamed entity that Iowans can hopefully enjoy and respect. Bobcat numbers are really improving, especially along the Missouri and Mississippi rivers and throughout southern Iowa, and that's pretty wild." And this is Pat Schlarbaum with KHOI Community Radio. Background music is John Barleycorn Must Die by Traffic. To support this station, go to our website, khoifm.org, and locate the donate button.
Without a little body cold.
And there you have it, good friend Matt Michael. I think you were hearing bobcats south of Ames. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Friday at 89.1 FM. And hit the play KHOY-FM button. And please remember to support this station financially when you go to the website khoifm.org and find the yellow donate button. KHOY provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOY. KHOY is community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media. Thank you, producer Lynn Carey, and thank you, Dennis Hart, for your Friday report. Thank you, engineer Mike Murphy, and thanks to our guest, Dallas Chief Eagle. This is Pat Schlarbaum. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other artists you heard was Joni Mitchell, Both Sides Now. Happy 78th birthday, Joni. Stay tuned for Headline News and Democracy Now! Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOY meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.